Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, fight fans? We welcome you into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canovio, your host here for another week of boxing talk and a week where we get to discuss a mega fight. 2021 has been an up and down year in the boxing world. We've had good fights. We haven't had the mega fight, and it is finally here. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, the three-year saga hopefully comes to a close this Saturday night over in Las Vegas in their trilogy fight. We're going to get wall-to-wall coverage of that fight and the entire card as a whole. Joining us on the show this week, former Undisputed Heavyweight Champion Lennox Lewis, who will be calling the fight with Brian Kenny and Andre Ward. We'll get to the bottom of how to pronounce his name after 30 years of being in the limelight, what each guy needs to do to win, and just the heavyweight division as a whole. Excited to talk to Lennox, and excited to bring you some hard-hitting analysis from one of the best to ever do it in the heavyweight division. So that's our interview this week. Obviously, all things are going to culminate with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder when they step into the ring. This had a really good card top to bottom, and I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter say that, you know what, I'm ordering this pay-per-view. You know why? Because it is a great card top to bottom. I'm going to throw out the money, and that's like a novel idea for some promoters. It's like maybe you should put really good cards together for pay-per-views, and fans will buy them, and they will maybe not illegally stream them. There's still going to be illegal streams, but put together, make it their money's worth, and you get four really good fights that we'll touch on with the main event. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, the saga is over, will be over, we think, unless there's a fourth fight. I would not be shocked anything at this point, but take a look at the first fight. I think that this fight, the third one, won't be as bad as the first one, because you got to keep in mind, the first fight, neither guy cracked 90 connects. You know, Deontay Wilder only landed 17% of his punches in that first fight. It had a lot of drama. You know, Fury getting up off the deck in that 12th round wasn't just a great moment in boxing. That was a great moment in sports. That's going to be remembered for a really long time in the boxing world. So it had drama. You had to draw. The second fight was an absolute blowout. Tyson Fury landed 58 power shots in just 7 rounds compared to the first fight when he only landed 38. You know, so Fury, I think, is on the rise. You know, he's coming into his physical prime. He's coming into, I think he's the best heavyweight in boxing today. And then you take a look at Deontay Wilder, and you take a look at his punch stats and how he's trending and his metrics. He's trending down. Yes, he's still number one in the power punch department in the heavyweight division, landing 46% of his power shots. We know that's what he is. But if you take a look deeper, he's throwing less power. He's landing less power. He's throwing less jabs, and he's not landing his jab as much. You know, it's starting to erode a little bit, and now this is his longest layoff, 35 years old, facing Fury for the third time, but he still has that right hand. You know, he has a new trainer with Malik Scott. We'll talk about that with Lennox Lewis, who Lennox trained with Malik Scott, was a sparring partner of his. Will Wilder be able to change up his game plan? Will Wilder be able to execute it? It's one thing to say you're going to come in there and throw body shots and you're going to land, you know, your jab, but it's, and you got to execute it against one of the best defensive fighters in the heavyweight division, a guy in Tyson Fury who has limited Deontay Wilder to just 18% of his connects. Fury has outlanded Wilder in 15 of the 19 rounds. People talk about how this is a great trilogy. It is, because of the personalities involved and the timeline involved and all the shenanigans that go out outside of the ring. But if you take a look at inside these 19 rounds, it's very, very one-sided, and it leans towards Fury. Will he continue with that? But Fury, it's all mental for him at this point. He saw the Joshua fight go out the window. That's $100 million gone from him. You can say that it doesn't matter, but it does. These guys fight for money. That's game changing. That's life changing. That's just legacy type of money with the fight with Joshua, what that would have created. So what is his mindset? And he is a guy that is successful based on activity. fighting a lot. When he's inactive, Tyson Fury suffers, and he's been inactive for a very long time. This is, might be his longest career layoff. But that's the main event on Saturday night. We get to it with Lennox Lewis. Really, really good card. Talked about how I think that this is one of the best pay-per-view cards top to bottom in a long time because it has captivating heavyweight fights. Adam Konacki, he's back and against Robert Helenius. This is a rematch. Their first fight came in March of 2020, which felt like a different world. It was a different world. It was at the Barclays Center. I was there. It was one of the last fights before the shutdown. It was one of the last sporting events before the shutdown. But Konacki got beat in that fight. And I've never seen an arena so loud and then so quiet after he got stopped by Helenius. I mean, the Polish fans that come out for Konacki are impressive, but that night they left very, very quietly. Konacki is one of the busiest and most active heavyweights in terms of punch volume, lands the most punches per round, throws the most punches per round, 26 of 71. And I want to see if he's that same guy, because the one thing about Konacki is his defense. He never guts his head off the line. He comes forward and he just stands there waiting to get hit. And finally it caught up to him, all those wars over the years. So will he decrease his volume in order to have better defense? And he needs to win this fight, because if he wins, it puts him in line for some big names at PBC. I could see him fighting Ruiz. I can see him fighting Wilder. If Deontay Wilder wins on Saturday night, he's got to fight someone while Usyk fights Joshua. And Konacki has a huge fan base in the Barclays Center. That's a fight that I know the PBC would like to make. Helenius is another guy that could, at this stage in his career, wasn't expected to beat Konacki. And now if he wins, he puts himself in line for another payday. That's the co-main event. I think that fight's going to be amazing. Efe Ajagba and Frank Sanchez. This fight should steal the show. Keyword should. Two highlight reel knockout artists and two guys that also are known for throwing out stinkers. So it could either be a highlight reel knockout or we can get 12 rounds of not exciting boxing. But two massive knockout punchers. You got Ajagba, who was cut by the PBC and Top Rank picked him up. You know he wants to win this fight, because if Fury wins, Ajagba is in line to fight Fury. Fury has to fight someone. If it's not going to be Usyk or Joshua right away, it's not going to be Usyk right away. He's got to fight someone, and that could be Efe Ajagba. Same could be said for Sanchez. Sanchez wins this fight. He's in line maybe to fight a Wilder should he win, or just he goes up the pecking order in the heavyweight division. So that's going to be a really good fight. Undefeated, a real crossroads fight in the heavyweight division, where you could, both guys can make a case that this is the best win of my career. So that's always intriguing for it too. Undercard also features Jared Anderson and Edgar Belanga. These are two of Top Rank's prize possessions when it comes to prospects. We'll start with Berlanga. Obviously, the punching power, the knockout streak in the first round, what he was known for in his career to date. But he's a guy that needs to just get back in there and be active. And he plans to be very active. He has a very ambitious plan for the next four fights. He's going to fight on this card, which is, you know, high visibility. He's going to fight on the card of Lomachenko and Comey at Madison Square Garden in December. He wants to come back in early spring at MSG and then finish out on the eve of the Puerto Rican Day Parade in June, fighting at the Garden. That's an ambitious plan, and I think it's the right plan. I wish more young fighters would do this, but not every young fighter has the type of push that we're seeing with Berlanga. Yes, his KO streak ended in his last fight. And I think, you know, as the rounds went on, you kind of saw where he is in his development. He's still developing. He's a massive, massive star. His star power is ahead of his in-ring ability. And they need that to catch up for him to maximize everything for Top Rank. As for Jared Anderson, he is the best American heavyweight prospect in the game right now. Big puncher, a lot of charisma. A guy that the Top Rank is going to put a big push, because, you know, he fought a lot on that bubble. He's one guy that benefited a lot during those bubble days, because he was practically on every card. He's got a big smile, and I think that he's only 21, so he's got a ways to go. But he, along with Berlanga and some of the other Top Rank prospects, Xander Zayas, Teofimo Lopez is only 23, are the pillars of Top Rank. So I'm happy to see Jared Anderson get this opportunity. J-Rock Julian Williams is on this card as well. He's back with Breadman. I love that. I love the fact that they got back together and they're doing their thing. But It's going to be a great night of fights. The timeline Twitter is going to be buzzing. One fan base is going to be really upset. One fan base is going to be very happy. It's going to finally come to a close, Wilder and Fury. But let's break it all down. Let's get some perspective on this all with former undisputed heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis. All right, time to bring in our guest this week here on Inside Boxing Live, a familiar face, a familiar voice, the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox Lewis, is here.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. It's good to have a champ on the show. Usually it's just me holding it down. So now we have the real heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox. Don't call me Lennox Lewis. And we were just talking before. That's the right way to pronounce it, because now we can just squash this now once and for all, because Twitter just says it over and over. Why is Brian Kenny calling him Lennox when it's, well, that's not his name, but it's Lennox, correct?
Yeah, it's Lennox, L-E-N-N-O-X, Lennox.
There you go. That's it. It's all squashed. That's what we have. So Saturday night, big fight over on pay-per-view. The trilogy is here. Finally, it's been a painstaking saga. 3 years now we're going on here with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And let's start with Fury. His last fight, he came in at 275. He took the fight to Wilder. No one thought he would do that, and he did it, and he got him out of there. Do you think he will do that again, Tyson Fury? And if so, is that the right game plan to beat Wilder?
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, obviously, Wilder will be expecting it this time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he definitely put that weight on him and kind of threw him around a little bit. You know, Wilder was weighing 212 at that time, and he wasn't really balanced on his feet too well. You know, something that I've said that, you know, he needs to work on throughout watching him fight. And, you know, now he's gone away. He's saying that, you know, he's learning a bit of boxing. So if he can put that together, it'll be a different fight.
Do you think he can put it together? To me, that's the big question in this fight is we kind of know what Fury is. He's undefeated. He's got great defense, the movement, and now the power to add on to it. I think he's the most complete heavyweight in the game right now. But the question in this fight is, can Wilder make the adjustments? Can he, quote unquote, learn how to box at age 35, you know, 40 fights in?
I think it's difficult. It's difficult. But a loss does something to your head. It makes you say, you know, what do I need to be a winner again? And you're willing to make that sacrifice. Malik Scott, he's been in a lot of camps. He's been in my camp. You know, he knows a lot about boxing. You know, it's whether, you know, Deontay can take that information and use it in the ring. It's all about that discipline. The discipline comes in the ring. The thing that you work on in camp, you got to apply in the ring. So if he's able to listen and apply what he learned in camp or from Malik Scott, you know, it'll be a different fight.
Yeah, don't you think it's kind of hard, though, to make those adjustments because, you know, it's a fight. I mean, it's a primal thing. Like, when you get down to it, you kind of deviate from the game plan sometime and just go back to what got you to that point. And for Wilder, it's not boxing. I mean, yes, it is in a certain way. Like, he can get to the point to land that right. A lot has to go right for him to land that massive right hand. But I could see maybe Wilder going in there with that game plan of like, I'm going to go to the body and I'm going to box. But then Fury sits on top of him and all, you know, everything goes out the window. Did you see that happening?
Yeah. I mean, Fury's got the weight advantage. He's got the boxing skill advantage. And that's what he does, box. He's a great boxer. He can box orthodox. He can box southpaw. And he can move well around the ring. You know, these things are going to come apparent in the first round because, you know, he's not going to, I don't even know what, you know, last time I didn't think he was going to put on the pressure. I said, no, he's not going to come ahead. Right. And what did he do? He came ahead and did what he said. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I'm not going to disbelieve him again.
Right.
So this time he says the same thing. I'm inclined to believe him.
Right. That's what I said, too, after the second fight. He's like, I am done doubting Tyson Fury. I mean, I doubted that he would come back. I doubted that he would be competitive in their first fight. And I definitely doubted that he would come in at 275. And he did that day at the weigh-in. And then you're right. The first moment of the second fight, if you go back and watch, he legitimately ran at Fury and at Wilder. And Wilder's first step was back and Fury's first step was forward. And that was the fight for the remaining seven rounds. So I do agree with you that we're going to find out right away in that first round. Wow, this is going to be a massive, yeah, massive fight. I mean, you know what's funny about this fight is I think that once this saga is over, it's been 3 years of Fury and Wilder because of COVID, because of, litigation. Now, when this is all over, I think it's going to open up the heavyweight division a little bit. I think all these guys will start to fight each other, whether it's Usyk, whether it's AJ, whether it's Ruiz. I think they'll all fight each other regardless whether they have belts, because they're getting to the end of their careers and they're realizing the money, like it's getting short now. We got to fight each other to make the most money possible. I want to say in 10, 20 years, when we look back on this current era of heavyweights, what do you think we'll say?
We could say a lot of different things. it depends on the situation. We could say, hey, this is the first era in a long time that we've had a white unified champion. Mm-hmm. And that's big. And, you know, or we could look back and say, a lot of different things, you know, it goes on. It depends how your imagination is.
Well, yeah, you're right. Because it's not like, it's not finished yet, but we know the main guys in here, and you can make a case that each guy is flawed, I think, you know, whether it's mentality, whether it's fighting ability. And I think the era of, but your era, I think these guys, those were straight savages. I mean, that's what, one of the best eras of heavyweight boxing ever. I mean, you know, whether it was you, Tyson, Holyfield, go up and down. And Mike Tyson said, you know, a few weeks ago that he would have beat AJ and Usyk on that night, which I thought was pretty damn funny. But Wilder winning, though. If, say, Wilder gets this win, that would be one of the most miraculous comebacks, considering how down and out that he was, considering that Fury has not been beat. You know, it's only has that one draw, which was debatable. You know, we're talking about a historic comeback if Wilder could pull this off.
Well, you know, Wilder has such a big punch, and that's, you know, taken him throughout his whole career. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, you learn how to, you know, make it even easier for yourself to land that right hand. So I'm sure he's going to have a couple of tricks up his sleeve, you know, working up to the right hand. I mean, he can't just go out there and throw the right hand. Obviously, you know, we know that's your big punch. Yeah. Now we're going to see, what did you do to set it up to land it? Mm-hmm. You know, what have you worked on? Because this trilogy is really opportunity for each fighter to get better. They're getting better against the, you know, arguably the best fighters in the world. So, and they've had three chances. This is going to be the third chance at it. Oh, they're working with the best and the best. Yeah. So they're working, you know, and getting better. So, you know, this third fight, I don't even know if it's going to be a knockout, but I know it's going to be a good fight because, you know, to me, Deontay's in a little bubble. And, you know, if the bubble works for you, live with it. You know, that's it.
He is in a bubble, but he changed it up, though. I mean, new trainer, Malik Scott. What did he do with you? You guys were sparring partners?
Yeah, we were sparring partners.
Wow.
But, you know, we were around the same people. He was around Manny. So, you know, a lot of things, what falls off your hat falls on your shoulder. So,
especially the heavyweight division, there's a lot of synergy. There's a lot of guys that cross paths. Especially with Manny Stewart, your longtime trainer. I feel like he was like the patriarch, like the tree, like in football, like Belichick is like the main coach. And then all these other coordinators fall underneath them. With boxing and the heavyweight division, it started with Manny. And he actually predicted this. Did you see that piece that ran a bunch of times on Fox? That he predicted that Wilder and Fury would be the top two guys like 10 years ago.
Wow. He's like that. Manny's like that. I'm telling you, he's an amazing man. You know, a lot of fights that go by, I think of him straight away. I'm like, I know what Manny would be saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, every time boxing comes on and we're watching any fight out there, I know what Manny would be saying. Manny was the one that got me into commentating. So, you know, she said, listen, you know a lot about boxing too. You know, I think you should be commentating. So,
Yeah, who could forget when he told you to get this guy out of here? Get this guy out. Tyson, get him out. I mean, that's a legendary moment in the corner. I mean, yeah. And in the talk of the broadcasting, when with that, you'll be there Saturday night. This is a huge fight. You're going to be calling it with Andre Ward and Brian Kenny. This broadcast journey for you is going on. Do you have any like rituals before like you step out there? Obviously different from when you got in the ring. I'm sure every fighter and every athlete has like superstitions and stuff. Is there something you do before the broadcast to get you ready for it?
Not really. You know, I'm pretty calm about it. Just, you know, making sure that I'm organized, you know, study. No, I don't really have any rituals. Just making sure I'm not late.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get the Fox crew upset. I've been there right next to you for some of these fights. You're calm, cool, collected. You can call fights in your sleep. A big fight Saturday night. I here's my thing. I don't think it's going to be as bad as the first fight where there was under 100 connects for each guy. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like the second fight is. I think it's going to settle in somewhere in the middle, which makes it, I think it's going to be the most competitive of the three fights. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think Deontay is going to come with a lot more fire in this fight because, you know, like I said, a loss does things to people that makes them change and, you know, it makes them more focused and he seems like he's more focused. I think let's hope that some of the things that Malik Scott has shown him, he can, you know, put to use in the fight and we can see some new things. You know, he's given that light that he's going to be throwing some body shots out there, you know, but one thing to throw them, but you still got to think about your defense. So, you know, I know Sugar Hill is a great trainer and I don't think he's too worried and he's very calm and collective and, you know, he doesn't seem too worried. So, like I said, it's going to be a good fight. Tyson Fury right now is picked to win, but anything can change with a big punch.
That's the beauty of the heavyweight division. If Wilder wins, we have a miraculous comeback story and we have a American heavyweight again, potentially taking on Usyk. If Fury wins, he just becomes even more dominant, and we have that one true dominant force in this era of the heavyweight division. Can't wait for it. Saturday night, Lennox Lewis, you'll be on the call. Appreciate the time. Yeah. Hope to run into you soon, my friend.
Yeah, man. Everything bless.
How about that from Lennox Lewis, I should get it. More important than his thoughts on the fight is we finally got to the bottom of his name and why Brian Kenny has been calling him that for it seems like a couple of months now. So special thanks to Lennox Lewis for joining us. He'll be on the call Saturday night. Andre Ward, Brian Kenny, Kate Abbo, Sean Porter, Max Kellerman, Bernardo Osuna, Christina Poncher, a real A-list team on Saturday night, which is going to be an A-list night. On Twitter too. Now I'm going to have my eyes obviously going to be counting the punches in between rounds and afterwards. I'm going to have to check out Twitter. Shout out to Art Man Boxing. That guy is either going to be really happy for Wilder or very, very upset, but it's going to be a great night of boxing. We finally got our mega fight here, which sets off a great end of the year. You know, we're only a few weeks away from Canelo versus Plant. We're only a few weeks away from Porter versus Crawford. You got Herring versus Shakur Stevenson, Munguia versus Rosado, Lomachenko's in action. Hopefully we see Ryan Garcia, Teofimo Lopez, and Cambosos. That whole saga gets figured out because that's a dirty, dirty thing that's going on with Teofimo's career at this point. But big fight. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, the saga is over this Saturday. You don't want to miss it. See you next week. Another edition of Inside Boxing Live.